Let's turn together to Proverbs chapter 31. And we'll read from verse 10 to the end of the chapter, Proverbs chapter 31. That's page 646, page 646 in the end of Proverbs. Proverbs 31 at verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is good, is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arm to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed, and she is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her work bring her praise at the city gate. That's as far as reading in God's Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we continue our series in Proverbs, this evening we are going to be introduced to three kinds of women. Three different women, their three different lives leading to three different ends. But if we could even divide that into smaller groups, we could say, really, there's only two groups. There is the way of wisdom, which leads to blessing in life, and there is the way of folly, which leads to disorder, chaos, and ultimately death. So today we are going to see that these three women that are here presented to us are going to be set before us, and coming in the context of the opening of chapter 31, if you still have your Bibles open, you will see that these sayings in 31 verse 1 is an oracle that King Lemuel had his mother teach him. His mother taught him, this is the kind of woman you need to look for. The following epilogue that we read from 10 down to the end of the chapter, verse 10 to the end of the chapter, this is a wise mom who says to her son, this is the kind of woman you will need to look for. Someone like this to be your bride, to be your queen. But on the opposite side, Proverbs tells us the kind of women to avoid. If you want to get married, don't look over here. This is the kind of woman that will bring nothing but destruction and death. Indeed, as 18 verse 22 says, if you find a good wife, you find a good thing, obtaining favor from the Lord. And yes, Proverbs does say that if you obtain a good wife, you have obtained favor from the Lord. It is the Lord that gives to you a good wife. But that does not exclude the necessity for young men to be careful what kind of women they date, what kind of women they wed. But the application is going to be more than just two young men who are considering marriage. For our ladies, it's going to be, Proverbs 31 tells you that this is who you are in Christ. First and foremost, it's not something you must aspire to. It's something you already are in Christ. These characterize your life because you are one who is blessed. one who is wise, one who is filled with the Spirit. And for our ladies, so this setting before them, who they are, and also an example to set before them where they are to go and how they are to live. So Proverbs is going to teach us what kind of people to avoid, what kind of situations to avoid, and we're going to look at this theme that Jesus Christ teaches us about the women and company who we should seek and which company we should avoid. I'll say that again. Jesus Christ is teaching us about the women that we will come into contact with in this world, which ones we should seek to be in the company of, and which ones we should seek to avoid. The first woman to be addressed is the adulterous woman. If you still have your Bibles with me, I'm going to be jumping around just a little bit, but from 5 verse 7, we read this. Now then, my son, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her, from the adulterous woman. Do not go near the door of her house. Stay away from the adulterous woman. The adulterous woman is one who is, by very definition, foolish. Remember, that's the theme of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the adulterous woman has despised the Lord and rejected knowledge. There is no fear of the Lord before her eyes. She is godless and rebellious. In fact, as we find a few chapters later from 9 verse 13, we find what her life is like. What is this lady like? 9 verse 13, the woman folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. So she is loud. The word hama in the Hebrew means that she roars and rages. She is loud, even obnoxious, seeking attention, wanting the spotlight, kind of like the Kardashian family. She uses the flesh to tantalize, her body and dress to tempt. She seeks to draw men to herself and away from the Lord. She lacks wisdom. She seeks an audience with men. But she is also, as verse 13 says, as we just read, she is seductive. Our passage says undisciplined. Literally, the word is simple. She has no discretion. She's easily turned aside. She has not been taught the way of wisdom. And finally, the final characteristic given to us is she is unknowing. She is without knowledge. She knows nothing. She may know everything about the fashion world, how to make her body appear in just a certain way. She may know how to use Photoshop. She may know how to do her makeup and all the various trends in popular culture. But she knows nothing about what is lasting, of what is important and what has value. Therefore, she is not useful. She has no true knowledge because she has rejected the wisdom of the Lord. This is what she is like. And this is what she does. She is strange. She is not after the way that the Lord intended. She may appear sweet, but in the end, she is bitter and she bites. In fact, 5 verse 4 says, she is like a double-edged sword that pierces men. Our passage says that her house is in hell. And those who go there go to the grave. The fact may be that the women of this world may appear tempting and tantalizing. But if you go that way, know where that path leads. It leads to hell. It leads to death. It leads to destruction. Yes, it may be that in the heat of the moment, sexual sins appear to be enticing. To make it abundantly clear, congregation of Christ, looking at pornography may be pleasing to the flesh momentarily, but in the end, it leads to death. recent study said that those who look at pornography have a 300% higher probability of being unfaithful in their marriage. 300%. Pornography is killing families and marriage. In the end, those who go the way of the adulteress will find that they've lost everything. The sin consumes your body and infects your soul. Sexual sins are particularly destructive. Not only do they drain resources, our passage says that it's going to rob you of everything you have. For a loaf of bread, you're selling your soul. The adulterous woman is like a leech, sucking the blood, draining the resources of society. They are false because what you see on the tabloids or what you see in magazines or on ads and TV, they are lies. They don't even look like that. They're fake. They deceive. But they are the instrument of hellish, devil-inspired temptation. So to apply this, ladies of our church, do not seek to be like the women out there. Do not try to look or act. Don't desire that lifestyle because you know where it ends. You know what it leads to. When your body or the body of someone else becomes an idol, it leads you away from God. And men, young men, I can quote from 6 verse 25, do not desire her beauty. Do not let your heart be captured by the one who flutters her eyelash. Pornography is the first step down the path which ends in the grave. My son, listen to my words. Heed my instruction. Don't go that way. If you want to save your soul. But the lady fool, Lady Pornia, the adulterous woman, with wandering eyes who smacks with her lips, not only is one to be avoided when it comes to who we should marry or who we should seek to be like. The adulterous lady has a unique place in the history of redemption because she becomes a picture of evil incarnate. Jump forward to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17 says, Babylon, that great harlot, is a prostitute who is drunk with the blood of the martyrs. She's like a vampire, a leech, sucking blood from the church, which makes her drunk. Her way is completely diametrically opposed to everything of Christ and his kingdom. Would seek to, if possible, even to draw the church away from her God. Throughout Scripture, marriage and the covenant that God has with his people are analogous. The loose woman breaks covenant with her husband, teaches others to do the same, and therefore puts shame, disgrace, on what God has made to be good and holy. As Christians, we remember God has purchased us body and soul. We belong to him. Not only do we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, our very flesh has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Would we take what God has purchased, which is now a temple of the living God, would we take that which is holy and unite it to that which is, by its very definition, filthy? That's 1 Corinthians 6. Would you unite the church of God with a prostitute? What you do with your body matters. The gospel of Jesus Christ has set us free from slavery to the flesh, to the idolatry of the image of the passing sensual pleasures. Because adultery is, at its base, idolatry. Worshipping the flesh instead of serving the one true God. So, avoid that way of life. Run, as Joseph did, from the looks and thoughts, and seek to glorify God with your body. Men, young men, high school, college age men, avoid this woman at all cost, because she is the serpent. Her kiss is the kiss of death. When considering someone to marry, external beauty is vain, fleeting, it's passing. Yes, God made marriage to be a blessing, but it depends who you marry. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, if you want to get married, you must marry in the Lord. Marriage is a blessing. It's even designed to help us with our temptation towards sexual immorality. But if you play with fire, you will get burned. Can you scoop coals into your lap and not be singed? So is the one who plays with the adulterous woman and her wares. So avoid the lusty, loud, foolish lady. And for those who are married, remain true to one another. What God has joined together, do not let the serpent pull you apart. Because lusty lady would steal you away from the true pleasures that God has designed to give his people. But we could even say more. Because in our sins, we're all like the adulterous lady, are we not? Isn't that what the Lord teaches with Hosea and his wife Gomer? In our sins, we are all prostitutes. Because we've been purchased. We've been betrothed to Christ. It takes a loving, sacrificial husband like Jesus to purchase and to bring his bride back to himself. And isn't that what really the development of the church is? It's taking an adulterous prostitute and making her a sanctified bride. Isn't that what really the church is? Cleansing her. That's what we find in Ephesians. The husband cleanses, washes, renews his bride, making her ready for her wedding day. So the first lady and lifestyle we want to avoid is the adulterous, pornographic lifestyle that focuses on the flesh and the pleasures of the immediate at the expense of the eternal. But there is another lady presented in Scripture who is equally foolish. And here, if you'd like to read with me, this is found in chapter 19, verse 13. Verse 13 says this: a foolish son is his father's ruin, and a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping. Our second lady we are introduced to is the complaining lady. The word here in the Hebrew is midyan. It's used seven times throughout Proverbs, and each time it describes a lady who is complaining, arguing, bitter, basically a nasty wife. By her constant attack, relentless dripping of argument, quarrelsome complaint, which in fact tears down the house and ruins everyone who enters into it. A wife and a mother has a unique place in the house. They have the unique ability to build, to strengthen, to wipe away tears, to heal wounds, to give direction and blessing, but they can also be a source of great irritation, conflict, and friction. A complaining wife is illustrated multiple times in Proverbs as a leaky roof. Now, for those who are in construction, if you know that this roof is leaking, that the shingles have a hole, perhaps blown off from the wind, and you know that rain is getting into the sheeting, into the soffit, into the interior walls. You know that this needs to be fixed immediately. Because what happens to your house if you let the leaky roof continue? You got all sorts of problems. You got mold, you got rot, electrical problems, decay. Water inside your house damages everything, and it undermines the structural reliability of the house itself. The house is in danger of falling down. Well, Philippians 2 says we are to do all things without arguing and complaining. How much more the wife, mother, and maiden of the home. The fact is, what arguing does, a complaining wife does, is tear down the very house she is charged to build. 14 verse 1 says this, "The foolish woman tears down the house with her own hands." In some ways, we can get a glimpse of what a wife will be like by looking at the relationship between the husband and her daughter. How do daughters relate to their dads? The whine and complaint of a contemptuous woman is a warning sign to future suitors. So, young men, when you are looking for a spouse, what does this woman expect? What does she demand? What does she complain about? In fact, it would be better, this is 21 verse 9, it would be better if you weren't married at all than to live with a complaining woman. It would be better to live on the corner. Now, remember back in the old days, they had flat roofs, right? So it would be better to live in the corner of the house, outside in the weather, in a little spot on the top of a house. It would be better to live there than to live in a mansion with a wife who complains. What good are earthly riches if your bosom companion is not loving and cheerful? In fact, it's easier to grasp oil with your hand or to restrain the wind with this hand than to restrain her complaining. A little possession with peace in the house is much better. A heart that is hard and rebellious, thinking that she deserves everything and expects nothing else. This is the second woman, Proverbs says, you should avoid. Because a Christian woman will be, as 1 Peter 3 says, someone who has a gentle, quiet spirit. That's the Christian woman. That's true, unfading beauty that's of great worth in the eyes of the Lord. That's the kind of woman you want to pursue, a gentle, quiet spirit that has unfading beauty that the Lord praises. And that brings us to our final point. God has something wonderful in mind. Just as the church is called a holy, chaste virgin that's on the way to her wedding marriage with Christ, the joys of Christian marriage in this life are designed to be a foretaste, a little taste, experiencing in part of the blessings that are to come. So if you want a foretaste in this life, what kind of woman should you look for? Well, if you are wise and you listen to the instruction of Proverbs, if you want a blessed marriage, one of peace, then you will find a wife that resembles Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 starts in verse 10 by saying, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies." The word here, virtuous or noble in the NIV, is hayil, which means a wife who is strong, efficient, and able. Now, when I hear that word, strong, efficient, and able, what comes to my mind is my grandmother. She was strong, efficient, and able. This kind of woman is someone who is of such worth that she's worth more than rubies. If you need to pursue something of value, this is the kind of thing to pursue. Rare like a jewel. So what does this woman look like? Now remember, before the ladies of our congregation become depressed, this is who you are in Christ. First and foremost, this is who you are. This is what you do. And as an aside, husbands, thank your wives. Praise your wives. Tell them how they do this. Remind them that this is who they are. So what is she like? Well, she is, verse 25 says, she's hardworking on the first hand. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She dedicates herself to serving others. Isn't that what the Christian life is, really? Consider the needs of others before your own. That's what she does. Considers the needs of others. It starts in the house, starts with the kids, starts with the how she relates to her husband, absolutely. But it extends from beyond there, and others are blessed as well. She is dependable and trustworthy. Whatever the husband puts in her hand, he knows it will be taken care of. She's trustworthy. There's truth to the present day proverb, behind every great man is a great woman. That's what Proverbs says. When the man is praised in the gate, it's because his wife is virtuous. What's interesting in Proverbs 31 is the guy doesn't really do anything. I mean, his wife is really hardworking, and the husband receives honor because his wife is so virtuous. She's generous. She shares. She's trustworthy with finances and freely gives to the poor, verse 20 says, to those who are in need. She is a planner. She prepares. She knows winter's coming, so she gets ready. She rises early in the morning, provides for those in her household, strong, industrious. Although, yes, her primary concern starts in the home, the well-being of her family, her chief focus. Others in the community are blessed from her labor as well. And she is wise. Verse 26 says she opens her mouth with wisdom. She has knowledge and know-how that springs from a godly heart because she fears the Lord. And that's why I keep repeating this point. This is who you are in Christ. Right? Wives, mothers, grandmothers, young Christian ladies, this is who you are in Christ. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you have the fear of the Lord in your heart, this lifestyle comes, this way of living. Because Proverbs starts back in chapter 1, the fear of the Lord leads to knowledge. And then we come to the last chapter and we find that the fear of the Lord is a foundation for a virtuous wife, a virtuous woman. The chief mark of this life is piety. She is able to speak wisdom to her children because she has the wisdom in her heart. Godliness made evident in how she speaks and how she works. Because, yes, many women do noble things, but this kind of woman surpasses them all. Because as verse 30 concludes, the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So let her children praise her. I'm going to add her husband too. Give praise. Give encouragement to the virtuous woman. Because she is a blessing from God. And a benefit to you and to your household. As many can testify here, you are wise and will be blessed when you marry a godly woman. Young men, when you're looking for a spouse, look at someone who looks like this. My son, if you want a wife who will be a blessing to you and, Lord willing, to your children as well, start with one who fears the Lord. You could say this another way. Paul says, do not be unequally yoked. Don't even date women. Don't even date ladies who do not know what wisdom is. Because if they don't know wisdom, their lives won't look like this. They may be good looking, but that's vain, that's fleeting, that's passing. Look for a wife who fears the Lord. To conclude, Proverbs presents to us two kinds of women, really, two kinds of women. We have the wise and the foolish. Proverbs 19, verse 14 says, house and wealth, that can come from a father, but a prudent wife, a wise wife, that comes from the Lord. An excellent wife, 12, verse 4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. But she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. Now, to be clear, there is hope from the Lord for the prostitutes of this world. That is not the point of this sermon at all, because just think of Jesus Christ who conversed with the Rahabs and the Marys of the world, and they came to faith. Praise God for that. But the point of this teaching in Proverbs is that the wise son chooses a godly spouse. Consider well who you wed. A current present-day Proverbs says this, happy wife, happy life. I'm going to twist that a little bit because the Bible says, wise wife, blessed life. Wise wife, blessed life. Jesus is here teaching us what kind of women we should seek when we're becoming married. He's teaching the women of our church that this is who you are in me. You are wise. You are godly and prosperous and hardworking. Continue to pursue it because that's who you are. If you're looking to get married, pray for a wise, godly spouse. Look for someone who understands truth and wisdom that flows forth from the fear of the Lord. Men, look for this kind of ladies. Ladies, seek to be this kind of wise, virtuous woman. Husbands, if your wife looks like this, praise her. Children, if you see an industrious mom, give her the fruit of her work. Praise her for her work. Thank God and thank her for everything that she does. So as we can see, our passage sets before us two paths, two kinds of women. If we want to be wise, we will choose the way that is set before us by our Jesus Christ. Jesus teaches us about what kind of women and whose company we should pursue. So may we all dedicate ourselves to surrounding ourselves with those who are wise, seeking to be wise and godly ourselves. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage which sets before us the way of wisdom and wise women. We thank you, Lord, for the wise women of this church. We thank you for their virtue, for their industry, for their strength and their capacity. We do pray, O Lord, that they would continue to be diligent, using their gifts for the blessings of their family and the blessings of the home. We pray for those who are considering marriage. May they find a good and godly spouse to marry, one who is equal in being united to the Lord. And for those, O Lord, who are not married or do not desire to become married, we pray that we would all be godly and wise in whatever calling and office we have, that we would be a blessing as we serve those whom you have placed around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.